All right, before we look at God's word though, let's pray. Our Father, thank you for the time we've had having prayer for Dave and Kate. Thank you for the time we've had breaking bread together in the presence of you and your Son and remembering the incredible sacrifice that Jesus made for us. Thank you for the beautiful songs of worship we can sing. Thank you so much for our very rich Christian heritage that includes modern songs and old songs that speak of your glory and what you've done for us. And Lord, that last song we sang is a beautiful hymn that speaks about the wonder of being saved, of heaven coming down and filling our soul with glory. And for all of us, Lord, if we are yours, we are so grateful for that day when you saved us and brought us into your kingdom, when you transferred us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your beloved Son, when you saved our soul and made us a child of yours. And ever since that day, our life has been changed, and we are so, so grateful for you doing that in our life. And Lord, I just pray now that you would bless your word to us. I'm so grateful that we have your word written down. Thank you for how you have preserved it over the years. We have it in our own language. And I ask that you would bless your word to us by the help of your Spirit as we look at this morning. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, when I was young, my brother and I, we used to have a job to do. I don't know if you know this, it was called the Bramer. Did anyone remember the Bramer? We had to light the Bramer in order to have hot water that night. And so John and I were given the task to do that, and we take turns. And of course, what it involved is putting paper in there, a bit of kindling, and then lighting the fire, and then stoking the fire and putting bigger wood in there to have a nice fire in order to have nice hot water. It's no good having freezing cold water. So that's what we did. So John and I took turns, and I remember one day, this day came when John, it was his shot, and I checked with my brother, have you lit the Bramer? I did not want to have a cold shower. And he said, yeah, I've lit the fire. So I thought, oh yeah, John's pretty good, fire's lit. But somehow, I was around the area of the Bramer, and I noticed there's no fire. There's lots of big wood in the firebox, but it was cold. And so I thought, oh, what am I going to do? I could have got John to redo it, but I thought because of the big size wood, I thought I'd get some petrol. So I got some petrol, right? I got it from the shed, and I put a whole dose of petrol in there. So the petrol went in, and a fireball went out. Burnt eyebrows, hair singed. I'm in actual shock from being in the fire. And I couldn't chase my brother and kill him, but anyway, that's okay. What I should have done is check to see if there was any flame, any smouldering fire going on. Isn't that right? And then what I should have done is notice that there was a little fire going there, and then I would have fanned into flame the existing fire. But it's at the back of the firebox, I didn't check, and yep, petrol and a little flame. Even a little flame is enough to make a big explosion. Well, anyway, that little story, which I remember well, and I love my brother dearly, I do. And it reminds me of what we read here in 2 Timothy chapter 1 about fanning into flame. Fanning into flame is used by the Apostle Paul in verse 6 of 2 Timothy chapter 1. In my version, it doesn't say fan into flame, but it's similar. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh, or fan into flame, the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And I want to say to you all how important it is for us to fan into flame our spiritual gifts, as well as the spiritual gifts of each other. Fan into flame is a beautiful phrase, is it not? It's to be gentle and encouraging. It's not throwing petrol on each other, guilting each other, manipulating each other to do God's work and to use your gifts, nor even doing things in your own heart with wrong attitude. It's fanning into flame is beautiful. It's to just be gentle. Like, you know what fanning into flame is, don't you? You blow onto the fire gently and make that little flame grow bigger, and then the fire begins. And so that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. We're going to be looking at this great passage. And I'm so glad that we can look at this passage this morning in the light of Dave and Kate coming up and Dave's commissioning service. These are the words of the Apostle Paul. We believe some of his last words that he spoke to a young man called Timothy, a young pastor. And so these words are beautiful words to encourage young Timothy in ministry. And I have chosen this passage with God's help because of the commissioning of Dave. And I pray that these words, Dave, will be ministering to you and to all of us, because it's not just Dave. We're all meant to be engaged in God's kingdom for the glory of our Lord Jesus. Engaged using our gifts, fanning into flame our gifts. So that's what we're going to be looking at. I'm going to be considering three key things. Faithful prayer, faith that is sincere, and fanning into flame our spiritual gifts. Got that? But before we even begin with those three main points, I want to begin with something very important. First things first. And that's in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, the very first verse. So let me read now 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus. There's something very important in that very first verse. Do you see what it is? First things first. Paul describes himself as an apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, did Paul seize this role by human effort and determination, by qualification and excellent resume? The answer is no. Paul was made an apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ by the will of God. By the will of God. It was God's will for the apostle Paul, who once used to persecute the church, to be made an apostle. And I want to read to you his words in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 9 and 10, we read, Paul says, "For I am the least of the apostles. I'm not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am." And Paul knew that he had been called to be an apostle. He believed he shouldn't have been, because of what he did to the church. He used to persecute the church. He was also conscious of the grace of God in his life to make him who he was. Because it was God's will for Paul to be called into being an apostle, and God's grace that made it happen. And as I think about these things, as I think about Paul, I believe that he looked at Timothy and he was sure that Timothy was called by God, that Timothy had been given such grace from God to be a minister of the gospel, to be a young pastor. First things first, it was God's will for Timothy to be a pastor. And my brothers and sisters, I want to just say to you, that's how I feel about Dave. For Dave, and we voted on this 2 weeks ago, this is a thing that we believe is of God. Otherwise, we shouldn't have gone ahead with it. That it is God's will for Dave to be assistant pastor at Bazo. And I want to just say some important things here, because of how things are done in churches and Christian schools and organisations. I feel that we have really let the ball down in many places by not seeking the will of God. We have sought people to fill the gap, or people who are popular, or people who have excellent resumes, and we have not been seeking the will of God through prayer and God revealing His will to us. It's so important we do that. We do that, we're meant to do that not only at the apostle level, and that's only back in those days, but also for prophets and teachers and pastors and for people who are elders and deacons, for Sunday school teachers and youth group leaders. You get the picture. We're meant to be doing things according to the will of God. And not human will, not human endeavour and human intention. Human will and endeavour will leave us astray, but we need God's Spirit to lead us. And so I want to just say to you all, as we serve at Bazo, we need to make sure that we are doing things according to the will of God, and that we have the people that God says to do this area, that they're doing that area. Otherwise, we're going to have problems. So that's first things first. Righty-o, let's continue on. I want to read the little beautiful blessing. All of Paul's letters seem to have this. In verse 2, we read, "To Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord." Don't you love that blessing? To Timothy was considered by Paul like a son. He actually didn't have the joy to lead Timothy to Christ. In Acts chapter 16, we read how Paul met Timothy and he already was a committed follower of Christ, as we find in 2 Timothy, because of his grandma, because of his mum, because of the Lord working in his life. But still, Paul viewed Timothy like a son. He was such a beautiful young Christian who loved to work with Paul. And you can't get a better blessing than that, can you? Grace, mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. When I read words like that, I can't help but feel that that's what I want to bless you all with. Is that how you feel toward each other? We want grace and mercy and peace from our Father and from our Lord Jesus to be upon each of us. That's how we're meant to be towards each other. Thinking of these most beautiful words, we ought to bless each other. But what I want to get to now is verses 3 and 4. So in 2 Timothy 1, 3 and 4, we read, I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. Now, what I want to emphasize there is Paul saying here that he constantly remembered Timothy, because they're separate from each other in terms of distance, and he constantly prayed for Timothy night and day. And I want to introduce this phrase, faithful praying. That faithful praying, isn't it? Not just every now and then praying, it's praying every day. Paul prayed for Timothy. I would love to have known what Paul prayed for. I'd love to know the details of the prayer. But my guess would be some of these. I reckon he would have been praying for Timothy to be protected from the devil, to be protected from his own fallenness, to be protected from the things of this world. I reckon he would have been praying for him to have the power to endure for Christ, to stand strong. I reckon he would have been praying for him to be purposeful in his life, with eyes on Jesus, living for the Lord. I reckon he would have been praying for Timothy's pastoral ministry, that he would be a good shepherd, loving the people, caring for them like a shepherd cares for the sheep. And that he would be a great preacher of the word, preaching the word in season and out of season, according to the word of the Lord, preaching it well. Many things to pray for. And Paul prayed every day. He prayed every day for Timothy. And how good it is to pray for each other. And I want to now just say to you all, as in our commissioning service, that we ought to commit ourselves to pray for Dave and Kate. We ought to pray for Dave and Kate every day. It's such an important thing to do. We are living in challenging times, dangerous times. I've known of ministers who have fallen from the faith. When you put yourself on the front line, you are a target. But God's greater than the devil. But we still need to pray. We need to pray for Dave and we need to pray for Kate. We need to pray for our elders and our deacons. We need to pray for all those who are in ministry. I think it's good for us as a church to be conscious of the weekly activities and our craft groups on, and we pray for Dot as she's leading that. Or the youth groups are on and we pray for the youth group leaders. We need to learn to pray for each other. Praying is so important. I urge you to pray for Dave and Kate. And I wanted to say to you all, I really appreciate, Colin and I really appreciate your prayers for me. Because as many of you know, it's been a very challenging time in ministry. And I am so thankful for God, for His power to get through things, but the prayers of His people that are so special and precious. We need to pray. I just want you to realise that we live in dangerous times. We know that Jesus taught us that there would be a great falling away from the faith. In my life, in recent times, I've had quite a number of colleagues fall from the faith, fall away from Christ, not just fall away from ministry. And so I just want to encourage you to pray. I want to urge you to pray. Paul prayed for Timothy every day. We need to do this. We need to know the days we live in. And I want to say about prayer, going right back to Exodus chapter 17, I think my Uncle Errol taught me this one, and that was to do with this beautiful story where Joshua is fighting against the Amalekites. And Moses is not joining Joshua in the fight. He's on a mountain. What's he doing on the mountain? Praying. And he's praying with hands lifted up to heaven. And so he's praying to God that Joshua would have victory over the Amalekites. And as he's praying with his hands lifted, what happens after a while? The battle's going for a long time. His hands are drooping down. And Aaron and Hur get alongside him and lift his hands up, and Moses continues to pray. And every time his hands are lifted up, and as Moses continues to pray, Joshua is actually having victory. And when the hands come down, he's losing. What do you think of that story? Why is it in the Bible? To tell you the importance of praying. How we need to pray. We need to uphold each other in prayer, that God will give us victory as we live for Christ. Alright, let's now continue on, and I want to read verse 5 to you. And Paul goes on to say in verse 5 of 2 Timothy chapter 1, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well." I love this verse, to know that Timothy, whose dad was a Greek, but his mum was a Christian. Her name was Eunice, and his grandma was a Christian. Her name was Lois, and we have a Lois in church here today. And they loved Jesus. And Timothy grew up with these godly women in his life. And of course, we're not saved by having godly women or men in our life. We're saved by Christ drawing us to himself. But praise God for having people in our life who help us to know the truth of Jesus. And Timothy came to love Jesus. And I just want to pick up on this phrase that Paul uses. He said, "I'm mindful of your faith that is sincere." Timothy had a sincere faith. What does it mean, sincere? It's real. It's genuine. This sincere faith was in Eunice. It was in Lois, but it's also in Timothy. Have you ever thought what a faith that is sincere looks like? I want to explore this with you. A faith that is sincere comes from, first of all, coming to Jesus on his terms and being born again. Having the Spirit of Jesus come into us. That's having a faith that is sincere. A faith that is sincere is a faith where it's all about Jesus and the glory of God. It's no longer about me and my kingdom and my will. A faith that is sincere is where you're lost in wonder, love and praise for God and his Son. That's a sincere faith. A faith that is sincere is where you bow your knee to Jesus. He is the Lord. And you bow yourself to him. You commit yourself to him. You submit to him and to his word. Martin Luther said a very special thing in the 1500s to his friend Erasmus, especially when it comes to God's word. Erasmus was not a Christian, even though he knew the Bible so well. He had an insincere faith, but Martin Luther had a sincere faith. Martin Luther said to Erasmus, I've said this to you before on other occasions, he said, "The difference between you and me, Erasmus, is that I sit under Scripture, letting it judge me, but you sit above Scripture, judging it." What a completely important thing that is, you know? Where's the Bible? Do I sit under Christ, his rule? Do I have the Bible above me, speaking into my life, changing me? Or is it the other way around, where I just pick and choose what I want, and the Bible becomes subservient to me and my will? How important it is to have a sincere faith. And a sincere faith needs to be nurtured by daily practices. And we do them not out of duty, but out of devotion. Out of love for Christ. You all should know what these practices are. A faith that is sincere shows itself. We have a heart to read the Word of God every day. To find a place free from distraction where we read the Word of the Lord and allow God's Spirit to minister to us through His truth. That's a faith that is sincere. A faith that is sincere is where we have a place of where we're not distracted and where we pray to our God and Father through Jesus, pouring out our heart to Him. That's a faith that is sincere. A faith that is sincere also shows itself in that we love to be together. We love to have fellowship. We love to come and bless and encourage each other. Do you have a faith that is sincere? Dave and Kate, do you have a faith that is sincere? I want you to nurture it. I want you to all nurture this faith to make sure it is sincere. It's not some performance, it's not some show, it's sincere. We know Jesus and we want to walk with him every day. And now I want to look at these last two verses of our Bible reading this morning. And that's 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to read to you verses 6 and 7. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh, or fan into flame, the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. And I began with this last point at the beginning of the sermon, fanning into flame. There it is in verse 6. If we are in Jesus, and I want to highlight this to you all because I know that not every one of us has been born again. If we have repented of our sins and received Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, if we have called on Jesus to save us from our sins and committed our life to follow him, then we have been truly blessed. Not only have we been forgiven of all our sins, we have also received the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus. On camp a few weeks ago, we looked at the blessing of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has come into our life, and he has not only made God real to us, not only are we connected to God in a very real and personal way, but he's also equipped us, and he's blessed us with spiritual gifts. And he's also given us spiritual works of service to do in God's kingdom, in Christ's church. Do you know that? For every Christian, whether we might not be a missionary, we might not be a minister, but every Christian has gifts and spiritual works to do in God's kingdom and Christ's church. And the Apostle Paul was very conscious of Timothy having this in his own life. And he uses this phrase that we are to fan into flame these beautiful gifts that God has given us, that we might use them. And this is really important. So important that we understand this. Being a Christian is not all about getting a ticket to go to heaven. It's not all about singing great songs of the faith. The Christian life is where we are to minister to each other, where we are to grow together, as well as bring others into the kingdom through witnessing. This is the Christian life. We have been equipped with spiritual gifts to use. And I want to read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where the Apostle Paul speaks about the Spirit and the gifts and the ministries he's given us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 4 to 7, we read, "Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of ministries and the same Lord. And there are a variety of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." All these gifts and ministries are not for your gain and benefit, but for the gain and benefit of others. And verse 11 says, "But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as he wills." So God's Spirit is the one who's given us these gifts. And the Apostle Paul's word to Timothy is, fan it into flame. So he speaks actually in the sense of, Timothy, you need to fan into flame the gifts you have in you and the spiritual services God's given you to do. Fan it into flame. So how do you do that? Fan into flame. Let me tell you a few things you need to do. Be an active Christian. Don't be a pew warmer. Alright? Where are you with that? Be a Christian who's out to give and not to get. That's how you fan into flame the gifts. Find out what your gift is. Get into it. Get on your bike. Start riding. You know, that's how you're meant to be. And what should be motivating us, what fans into flame, is these great truths. I have been saved by Christ. I have been shown extraordinary grace to be a child of God, to be in the kingdom of Christ. And as these things, as we think about these things, what God has done for us in Christ and the great gift of the Spirit and how we've been equipped, these are the things that allow us then to fan into flame the gifts and ministries God's given us. But what we need to also do, I know Paul doesn't mention it here, but we need to also be great encouragers of each other in this. We need to encourage each other, fanning into flame each other, blowing gently on each other, encouraging each other in our various gifts and the ministries God's called us to, so that the fires are stoked within, that the glow of Christ is evident. Do you see the picture? Fanning into flame, the smouldering little fire in us burns more brightly as we get hold of what Christ has done for us, as we fan into flame our own fire and as others fan into flame the fire within. We're meant to be glowing Christians. All right. But not throwing petrol on each other. I want to mention that again. That might sound a bit weird saying that, but I've seen it in ministry. I've seen people guilted, manipulated into doing ministry, using gifts that they don't even have, doing things that they're not even called to do. That's just terrible. That causes, a fireball to erupt. And bad things happen in church. We need to fan into flame, blowing gently on each other. Hopefully the breath of the Spirit blowing through us, fanning into flame, the flame that Christ has lit in us on the day we were saved. So friends, this is what we need to do, and we need to do this for Dave. And with the gifts he has, and I imagine like many Christians, Dave, you're still working out some of those gifts. It takes us a fair time to work it out. Sometimes I wish it just had it there. Ian, these are your gifts. But I have never found that in the Bible, but you can find out what they are through serving the Lord and other people affirming what they see in you. And we are to use those gifts. But may God at Bazo work in all of us. I want to see our new chapel filled with Christians who are not just smouldering little flames, little flickers of light, but we are lit up by Christ and are fanning into flame the gifts God's given us and using them for Christ's glory. What do you reckon? That's the picture, isn't it? All right, I just want to read to you verse 7. Because even though we might do a lot ourselves, we are to do what we can and we are to be a blessing to each other. Verse 7, how does that fit in? It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline." Do you see how that connects to verse 6? Fanning into flame. Who is the greatest one to fan into flame our gifts and ministries? It's none other than the one who gave us the gifts, the Holy Spirit. He's the one who will give us the power to exercise and use those gifts. He's the one who gives us the love to use those gifts well for helping each other. He's the one who gives us discipline to be motivated, to not just be sitting in the pew, warming the pew, but getting up and serving the Lord with all our heart. Praise be to God. How generous has God been to bless each Christian with gifts. How gracious of God that He has lit the fire of life in our being. May we be really good at encouraging each other. So now we're going to sing. 17 and 18. Now the Lord is a Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we all, with unveiled faces, are beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. This is the will of the Lord for every Christian, to be lit up, to be changed from glory to glory, that we might shine Christ to each other and to a world lost in darkness. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for this lovely day we've had today. How good it is to be in fellowship. Thank you for your presence with us. Thank you for the ministry of your Spirit. Thank you for how we have become your children because of incredible grace shown to us. I just thank you so much for how being your child is the most important and most precious thing of all. And thank you, not only have you saved us, but Lord, you have equipped us. Thank you that you have called us to various ministries to do, not just Dave and Kate, not just Colin and I, but all of us. I ask for all of us to be active Christians because we love you And I'm so just thankful of what you've done for us, that we would learn what our gifts are and use them, that you would excite us and ignite us for the glory of Jesus. And Lord, I just pray for you to minister to all of us, including myself, right now. You would help us to know what steps we need to take, even today, in regards to getting back where we should be and having a healthy fire burning within, fanning it into flame, because we want to glorify you. We want Jesus' name to be lifted up high. We want people to see Jesus being real in us. Lord, may your church here at Bazo be lit up by the Spirit for the glory of your name. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.